Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh, it may make you cry, it may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 10 of the Ghost Hacks Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm Tom.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome. Yeah, we have an awesome show for you tonight. I know I say that every night, but I think our shows are pretty awesome. So, hey, we have a little bit later on, we have an interview with medium empath Wendy Stanton Phillips. She's a very nice person, very, very informative person with the medium stuff. And yeah, mediums, large, extra large, you know, all that stuff.
You know what? Two dad jokes, bro. Just waiting. It was like the perfect storm of dad joke. Cause if you didn't say that, I was gonna.
Yeah, so that's going to be an awesome interview. Plus, we have plenty of interviews coming your way, guys, within our next few shows and everything. So, yeah, I guess the only thing I have tonight to share before the interview is I did a little bit of coverage on this haunted doll thing. Now, everybody's heard of Chucky, right? Everybody's heard of, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Talking Tina from the Twilight Zone.
Oh, that was creepy. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was a creepy one. I think that's probably what sparked all this haunted doll stuff. And then, of course, everybody's probably heard of Annabelle by now also.
Now, the real Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll, right?
Yes. And she's the Ed and Lorraine Warren Museum, which I'm actually very upset about, man, because it's literally 40 minutes from us. It's so close. It's so close in Connecticut. And I was looking up. I looked up the directions. I'm like, holy crap, I got to go. I want to see this museum. And it turns out they closed it down for now. Ed and Lorraine had passed away, and it was being run by their nephew. And what happened was, due to all of the movie fanfare, a lot of people have been coming by, and it's been very busy over there. And the museum is in a house on a residential street. Oh, yeah, so they've been getting a lot of complaints, and the police got involved, and the police ended up shutting it down. I really hope that the nephew plans on, you know, moving it to hopefully a different location and moving the museum, because it seemed like a pretty insane museum.
Yeah, even a storefront, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to get people to see. That's something I would definitely go see.
Absolutely. That was when I first heard that, I'm like, holy crap, wait, it's in Connecticut. I'm like, let me see how far it is for me, because I'm right near Connecticut. And then sure enough, it was 40 minutes away. I said, oh my God, no, that's way too close not to go. Way too close. So yeah, I do hope that they open that up. I don't know if he's into it, unless he was just watching the museum, but I would love to get the nephew on as an interview too.
If we
do that, that might be cool.
Yeah. Did you just mention who we got coming up? Was it next week? Episode 11, I think we're going to have Craig on.
Yes.
Yeah. So comedian and paranormal investigator, Craig Lohgren, who is just the angriest, funniest man you're ever going to listen to, is going to be on next week. And we didn't know how much of a paranormal investigator he was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought he just dabbled in it. It's almost a full-time gig for him. Before we go into, actually, we're already into it, right?
Sure. Into what?
Into the haunted doll.
Yeah, but
keep going with that. We're going to have to edit that out. I was just going to do the phone number and everything. Sorry, okay. I got off on a tangent.
What, our phone number?
Yeah.
You mean 845-379-1331?
The Ghost Hacks Podcast. Voicemail. Call us. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us about your paranormal experiences. Call and curse us out. It's all good. We want to hear from you.
Also, one thing that you guys could do too is, if you feel that like the 3-minute thing with the voicemail is short and it sucks and you don't really want to call a voicemail, you could actually take your little phone. Everybody's got a smartphone. do a little voice memo thing, and you could email it to us at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll play that.
Very good.
And that might be better if you have a long story. That way you don't have to keep calling back as well.
Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, go down to that purple icon. Give us 5 stars. Give us a review. No idea why, but any review could be a recipe for grandma's meatloaf. But that review will get us seen by more people from the Apple people. Don't know how it works, but it does.
Absolutely. And check out our website too, www.ghosthackspodcast.com. All that stuff is actually there as well. You can check out blogs and stuff about our guests and all of our episodes, our store, amongst a few other things that might be cool. So check all that out.
Cool, cool. Now getting back into it.
Yes, yes.
Hit me with your haunted doll story.
That's right. I'm leaving that in there too. So the haunted doll. Now there are quite a few haunted doll stories out, but I believe the most sinister and the biggest one other than the Annabelle is a doll called Robert the Doll, who resides in Key West, Florida in a museum at this point.
But I've been to Key West. Got to be 10 times. Which museum?
Let's see. It's at the East Martello Museum.
Okay. I think I know where that is. Key West is very small.
Oh, okay. I've never been.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
The story of Robert the Doll dates back to the early 1900s when a boy named Eugene Robert Otto was given this doll by one of his servants that worked for his parents in the house. Now, many believe that the origin of Robert's crazy antics and evil doings stemmed back from the servant who actually gave him the doll, because apparently she wasn't treated very nicely by his parents. And legend goes that she had put a curse, a voodoo curse, a black magic curse on the doll, and gave it to the boy.
Nice.
Nice lady.
You could just steal the silverware. Or.
So let's see. The first hint that something was out of the ordinary with Robert was one night. Now, the little boy, Eugene, they used to call him Gene. The little boy, Gene, was attached to this doll. Like, he loved this doll from the second he got it. The biggest thing that had happened, one of the things that had happened, was when he was about 10 years old, he woke up and he sees Robert sitting at the end of his bed, staring at him.
Wow.
Now, a few minutes later, his mom woke up by Eugene screaming at the top of his lungs. And she heard what sounded like furniture moving around and like a lot of mayhem and stuff going on in his room. So she tried getting into the room and the door was locked and she couldn't get in. Then she pried the door open and she got in and she saw that the room was completely a mess. And she found her son in the corner hiding out, and he was distraught. He was really scared. And all he kept saying was, "It wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was Robert. Robert was the one that did it." And he was terrified.
Did what? Did we
messed up the whole room and stuff?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then Gene's parents would also start hearing now this creeps me the hell out. They would hear their son upstairs talking to Robert, and then they would hear a voice answering their son back, but it wasn't Eugene's voice. It was a different voice. So the doll was, they reported seeing the doll speaking, his expressions changing. They reported hearing giggling and sights of Robert running up the steps.
And giggling, not in Robert's giggle. No, Eugene's giggle.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, this boy, he had this doll for his whole life. He passed away in 1974. Now, a new family had moved into his old house, and the little 10-year-old daughter, it's almost out of a movie, man. A little 10-year-old daughter found Robert in the attic, and she liked the doll, and it became part of her as well, and she really liked it and stuff. Then weird things started happening in her house as well. She awoke often in the middle of the night screaming in fear of her parents, and that Robert was moving and that it wasn't where they had put him the night before, and that his expressions were changing and all sorts of craziness. So I guess eventually they had gotten rid of Robert. Now, like I said, now you could see Robert in this museum, the East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. The staff has actually reported Robert's facial expressions changing, hearing demonic giggling, and have even seen Robert put his hand up to the glass.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some crazy stuff right there.
Oh, got the Ghost Juniors.
We're going to watch Chad and V soon. Okay. Give me 2 minutes. You want to say hi to my friend, Tom?
Hi. Hi. Hi girls. How are you? Who's Chad and B? Is this something I have to look forward to?
I can't hear you. Hold on. So Chad and V are the Spy Ninjas. It's like a YouTube thing that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. We've been watching it for a couple of years now. They love watching it, and it's like a family thing.
Okay, so, cool. Cool.
Yeah. Give me 2 minutes and I'm coming right up. We're going to watch it. Okay. I promise.
Okay.
I'm just going to say goodbye to Tom. Okay.
Okay.
Bye. 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 We'll see you soon.
All right. So I guess that's it for us.
Yeah, you got to leave that in, man. Oh, my God. They are so cute, dude.
Thank you. They take after their mom. Yeah, man. That's my little history on Robert the Doll.
Now, Key West is like, there's super haunting stories down there because it's been since the 1600s. It's been pirate's life. Down.
I'm going to attach a picture of Robert to the show notes so people can. I'll put that in our blog as well.
Okay.
And so everybody could see because he's a creepy looking little guy.
All right.
But yeah, man. So that's it. Everybody, please enjoy our interview with medium and empath Wendy Stanton Phillips. Have a good night, everybody.
All right.
Later.
See ya.
So with us today, we have Miss Wendy Stanton Phillips. She is a medium, empath, and a paranormal investigator with over 20 years in the paranormal field. She has co-founded the group Ghosts and Girls Paranormal, as well as she has partnered up with Miss June Lundgren in helping clients with the removal of spirits, as well as negative entities, and helping them to understand and deal with other issues they may be experiencing. She is also made appearances on Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. Please welcome Miss Wendy Stanton Phillips.
How you doing?
Welcome. How's it going?
Hello, gentlemen.
How you doing? I'm Joe, by the way.
Tom.
Hello, Joe.
It was very nice talking to you and stuff, going back and forth with the emails. That was very cool. I appreciate you giving us your time. That's all.
Oh, anytime. My pleasure.
At what age did you start experiencing your abilities, and when did you start, and what made you start exploring them?
I don't remember not being with them. It's always been part of me. I was raised by older parents. My daddy was born in 1916 and my mom in 1929. And even though they didn't understand everything that was going on, they knew something was actually going on. They didn't try to shut me down. They didn't tell me I was crazy. They supported me very much in it. So I grew up with that kind of a thing. And I just kind of rolled with it. But you also learn, I was born in 1966. I'm an old lady. And people were not what you'd call open back then to being told this is going to happen or that's going to happen. They think, you know, something's wrong with you. You're a creep. So you just shut it down, keep it to yourself. But then you feel bad at the same time when you know something's going to happen to somebody, but you can't say anything. So I grew up with a bit of that. And it wasn't actually until I went to a ghost conference in 2015 when I finally found my people, so to speak. I hadn't known that there was anything in my area. I got this message on Facebook out of the blue. It says, come to the Oregon Ghost Conference. And I'm like, the what? You're kidding me. And so I told my daughter, who was, let's see, she's 21, 15, 14, somewhere in there. I said, would you go with me? And she's sure. And so she's gone with me every year. She's part of it. She has her own gifts and different things. And so that's where I met my wonderful June that I adore more than anything in the world. And it's all made such a huge difference in my life to be able to really help people.
What is the difference between a psychic medium, a medium, an empath? Like, I know a lot of people group them together, or some people like might say one instead of the other. What's the difference between?
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I even struggle with that one. That's why I tend to not call myself a psychic. I'm more of a sensitive, and I'm an empath for darn sure. I have flashes of things. I have avoided accidents by seeing them before they happened. Spirits will come to me. They'll talk to me. They'll communicate with me when they want to. I don't sit down and channel per se. If they want to come, they come. So I think each person's experience is completely different for them. That's how they're wired. So I don't like to pigeonhole things. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to lump them together, but I don't want to say, oh, hey, this is how it is, because June behaves and feels differently than I do. My daughter does. My son does. We all do.
All right. So that's basically how your ability works. Like, you don't meditate or do anything like that? Like to.
Nope. The times I have meditated, sat down and done that, there was usually so much going on. It's like in 2016, our middle son's best friend was murdered. He was a security guard. And what I saw told me it was a drive-by. And it was so exhausting because he came to me throughout the day. He didn't understand it. He kept saying, why, mom? Why, mom? Why? And you're trying to help this poor little soul that does not understand what just happened to him. I was exhausted by the time I got home, and I knew I had a job to do. And I just sat down and just tried to focus and get some energy back. But he was just needing so much love and help that I had to contact June and another friend of mine, because I just didn't have the strength by that point in time. So I don't sit down and intentionally do it unless there's a specific reason that I need to. They'll come to me when they want to.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's actually one of the questions I had asked you that I was going to ask was, do you get approached by the other side even when you're not expecting it?
Oh, definitely. Sometimes they're sad. Sometimes they're happy. Sometimes they're goofy. It just, this world has been here an awful long time, and people tend to want to link happenings to a house. We've got to remember the land was here before the house. We do not know how long things have been. They're here. We live among them. That's my personal belief. I have watched my husband learn to deal with the different things, and it was hard for him at first, as I'm sitting here talking to somebody he can't see, but he's now understanding it. He hears things, he sees things, and they will come at different points in time. But one of the things June taught me was I had to draw a line. I had to draw the proverbial line in the sand. Guys, I got to get some sleep. I know you don't need it on your side and you don't understand it, but I can't. If you want to talk to me, there's got to be a reason, and you can't just stand there and stare at me.
That's creepy. Being a paranormal investigator and a medium, you must have had some interesting cases that you've dealt with. Can you give us a couple? Can you tell us a few that stand out?
Oh, my goodness. I have been so blessed because I have been with people who are so honest and ethical and care about what we're doing. I've gotten to do some fun ones and have gotten to do some very serious, painful ones. There's a family that June and I have gone to help twice that they have been plagued by the negative side, and they've killed their animals. There's been illness, just all sorts of not good things. And you can see it in the house. You can feel it. And when we went there, we went outside and we both stood on opposite sides and stared at each other. And one of the people that lived there said there had been a pentagram burned into the ground in the middle of where June and I were standing. We were standing on either side of it. And we just dealt with things for them as possible. There was a baby. There were, like I said, animals. There was an elderly woman. And so you try really hard to get this taken care of so that these people can go on in a healthy manner. And then we had to go back the next year. And one of the problems is one of the family members there used to dabble on the dark side and refuses to come out of his room, per se. He will not come and meet us. He will not come and talk to us. And we'd heard from them a lot. And then last year happened. We didn't get any calls or anything like that. But I'm thinking as soon as the COVID stuff lifts, and we'll probably get another call, because until we can deal with all of them, it's going to keep happening. And then to top it off, when we went back the second time, the area that had been forested was cleared, and they built houses on top of where these people used to go out and do their rituals. So, yeah, there was lots of fun stuff going on there, too.
That's not a good recipe for anything.
No, it wasn't. They were running around everywhere. We always call them minions. I deal with the little minions, and she deals with the big guys because she's been doing it a lot longer than I have. But that's just one of them. And it just broke my heart to know that animals were being killed. Littles were terrified. They weren't sleeping. Grandmas were scared to death. It's just not a recipe for a good home.
I'm not skeptical of psychics and mediums. I feel like it's hard for me to believe certain people because there's just so many fakes. There's just so many people trying to take advantage.
Unfortunately.
Is there something that somebody, if they're looking for someone to talk to or whatever, is there something that they could try and see if they're faking it or not? Or it's really just, it is what it is. I know people are cold readers, but
it's very obvious, especially to some of us that have been around different things. You can tell there's a difference, obviously, between faking it or the poor little grandma who's alone dealing with something scary and she's positive it's paranormal. I went with a set of friends who had a call. The cat wouldn't get on the bed with her. The cat had always gotten on the bed with her. A lot of people had died. It's an older home, old folks' home. We went. These are very wonderful, lovely people. I love them to pieces. Honest, ethical. And it's a two-person team. And she was talking to the lady with the utmost love and respect. And the first thing we did was we walked in and there are extension cords everywhere. And I got to plug everything I've ever owned into these throughout the house. And poor Kitty was laying underneath of the desk, all well and good. So her other half and I went into the bedroom. First thing we see is a Craftmatic adjustable bed. How long have you had this? Oh, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Okay. When did you start having problems with the cat? Oh, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. I know it's one of the lost souls here. Okay. You respect that. You have to just understand it. So we get down there with an EMF detector. This thing goes completely off the charts when he puts it next to the motor. There's a short.
Yeah.
Poor Kitty.
And it's unshielded.
Yeah. And poor Kitty would get up there. She would push the button to adjust it. His hair would stand on end and he'd take off. She was sure that she was being haunted. And so the other gal who just very lovingly said, you know what? I would contact them because this is what it looks like going on. It doesn't look like this because we got nothing anywhere else. You go, the first thing you do, you go over to the outlets, the junction boxes, all these different things. You get your readings because they're going to be higher. And we're like, if you don't get this addressed, you could be in trouble. It could catch on fire. What do I do until? Set it where you want it. Don't mess with it. She wasn't faking it, but she was positive that she was being haunted because there's no other reason why her kitty cat wouldn't stay with her. But then we do have the gal that had contacted us multiple times. We went the first time and I remember looking at June going, we have this involved. And we got to be careful with this one. This one's a little on the shady side. Went inside and it's, the energy was so far off kilter. And we left, and I'm like, we're going to hear from her again because she is not what she said she was. Lo and behold, she was lying to us, working on the side, calling in anything she could get her hands on. And then she sent people to us to try and fix the damage she had done. It was just very strange, to say the least.
What do you think of the TV mediums, the John Edward, the Sylvia Browns, the Long Island medium, Miss Cleo, all those people? Like, how do you feel?
I don't want to even say one way or the other, because, you know, what if? But I know I myself, unless there was some crazy thing going on that I just had to go over to somebody, I'm not going to just go up and go, oh, hey, there's a spirit telling me right in the middle of your dinner. John Edwards seems to be very thoughtful in the things he does. I have not seen him in many years on television, so it's hard for me. I got to say, I stay away from him. I just, because I also know, having been on a show, a lot of stuff ends up on the cutting room floor, which makes it harder to say, oh yeah, fact, fiction, created, whatever you want to say. There could be 3-4 hours of factual things laying on the floor that just didn't quite fit into the narrative.
So let's talk about that. It was the show that you're talking about is the Ghost Adventures?
Yes.
So what was that about? How did that come?
I'm sorry, Wendy. I missed this in the intro. You were on Ghost Adventures?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
God bless you for coming on, because In one of our previous episodes, I just eviscerated the host of that show. I'm sorry. I had no idea you were on that show.
Because he's grown up a lot since day one. The gentleman that I met was very kind, very professional, very ethical, worked hard.
And he's got great hair.
Huh?
He's got great hair, too.
Probably I didn't notice, I got to tell you, because I was doing my thing. But we were blessed with a 4-part miniseries called Graveyard of the Pacific. And it came out the end of 2018. And June was on episode 2, had to do with the Norblad Hotel. And I was on episode 4, which had to do with Cape Disappointment. And when I got the call from Jeff Belanger, I flat out told him, if I'm going to be asked to fake it, I'm not driving 4.5 hours to do this. I'm just not.
Right.
And his words to me were, no, we don't want that. We've had more than enough of that. And I'm like, we're good. Like, I had never done anything like that in my entire life. And so I went, and one of my wonderful friends, his name is Jeff Davis, and he's been on many different television shows. He's a historian. He was on the intro to it, and he stayed because he's just the sweetest guy. And I had lost a mentor 2 days before, and he was concerned how it was going to affect me. I just kind of took Donna with me. We're going. Come on. You're coming with me. And it was probably 4 or 5 hours seriously filming. I filmed with one of the producers, as well as a sit down with Zach. Like I said, he was absolute gentleman, very kind, had no problems with him. He takes good care of his crew. He really does. He tries very hard to take good care of his crew. And it was a really good experience for me. I would do it again. The only thing I complain about was the thing that I answered, they left hanging in the end. They're like, was it an accident? Yes! Throwing a fit. They were great to work with. They truly were. And then I was back the next weekend with June, because when she goes places, I try to be her chauffeur. I try to take good care of her because she takes good care of me. So we're at the Norblad, and that was a fun experience. You should look the whole thing up. They did not cut out Zach running out of the Norblad, freaked out after he had dealt with what he dealt with her. And that's all I'm going to tell you. If you haven't seen it, she warned him. Even Billy Tolly told him, she warned you.
That was one of our complaints that we had spoken about previously, that especially that show, it's a whole lot of screaming and yelling and whenever they discover something.
I will tell you, Mr. Aaron, when we had an experience, because the lighthouse keeper was very frustrated over his situation. He wasn't an angry negative or anything like that. He was a frustrated entity. He wanted to go. He wanted to be done, but he couldn't. He told himself. And so he let us know that he was not happy and pushed me out the door, and Zach stopped me from falling. And he's, what the heck? The film wasn't, cameras weren't even rolling at that point. I don't even know exactly when they picked up. And he sent Aaron back in and cracked me up. I have to go in there. And I'm thinking, it's broad daylight, dude. And you're taking your cameraman. I didn't say anything. I'm just standing there going, you know, I wander these places at night. No big deal. You'll be okay. So it was pretty funny. It really was. And then when I saw it, you could see his whole demeanor. No, it was great. Truly. They really, pardon what I'm going to say, everybody bases who they are on who they were. And at least my experience when I worked on them with them is they were great. They really were awesome people. They were very kind.
Well, at least they were good to get along with. Good to work
with. Yes. And they never asked me to just fake it or anything. And I was so blessed that everything worked out, because I'm driving there thinking, oh, this will be the day nothing happens. The stop sign's on in your head and they're not going to. So, no, I was really blessed that everything happened. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And it's really neat getting to go inside of a lighthouse that most people don't get to go into. So that was a really neat thing.
Yeah. That's got to be cool.
It was. Yeah. It was beautiful.
So also, I remember you telling me that you were involved in an exorcism. How did that come about?
We have Facebook and Instagram. We have our Ghosts and Girls. And then June has her own particulars emails set up. And so we get emails or messages in these various ways. And she was contacted by this one particular person. Here's what's going on. And it was not a pretty situation. This person had been beleaguered for at least 5 years. She'd been in and out of institutions. Well, there's nothing wrong with you. She'd been on medications. Well, it's not helping you. Everybody left her. And all this stuff is still happening. So we took one of our teammates who is an ordained minister, and we joke around Ghost Girls and Aaron, and we went, and we always pray for protection. So we did our praying for protection before we went in. And before you got, as you're getting there, you're feeling this. And they like to reach out to you. And I get migraines when I'm going to deal with something not good. And I was dealing with a migraine and I took my medication. I'm like, now this person needs help. Screw it. You just deal with it. You suck it up, princess. This person needs it way more than you do. So we got there and we went in, and you could just see it in her eyes. This poor thing. The heartbreak, the pain, the suffering. And when we got going, it was like 3 hours at least. To be honest, I can't remember. It's been about 3 years now. And you have to concentrate fully. You can't think, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to us. I can't believe we're doing this. You have to focus fully on what you're doing and on this person. Because if you don't and you show any weakness, you're in trouble too. All of you are in trouble. So we had the holy water. Aaron was speaking the verses. June was doing what she was doing. And you could see this thing coming and going on. Her eyes would turn black. And she would just get these facial expressions that weren't her. And it was physically and emotionally draining and painful. And I cannot even begin to understand what this poor person went through. And we went through and blessed the house and did the different things that we needed to do afterwards. And a lot of people I know are going to think that I'm making it up. I'm crazy, whatever. That's okay. I was there. Aaron was there. June was there. We all know what occurred. But And it's still hard. It boggles my mind. That day I was in the presence of the most evil and the most amazing. I felt this thing coming down the hall. And I just stepped back. And Aaron said he watched me look down the hall and step back. And you could see this big black outline. Big.
Wow.
And I believe we all see whatever it is they want us to see. Or what they tap in and they show themselves as what we think they should look like. If that makes any sense. And it went over and did whatever it did with this thing and it left. And it's you stand there going, did I just see? I thought I saw. Yeah. And then I felt this warmth and everything. And I just moved over and looked over to my right. And there was this glow and this beautiful hand came out. And poor Aaron standing there against the door with his mouth open, his Bible open, going, he was in such shock. That was the hand reaching out to this thing that had been occupying this poor person, saying, I'm going to give you this last chance. I will give you salvation. You can go that way for eternity, or you can go this way. And sadly, after they've been wherever they've been for that period of time, they don't believe anything. I still cannot believe it didn't take that hand. And that's one of those things that makes me go, okay, we screw up a lot in life, but we're giving these opportunities even at that point. And afterwards, we all went outside, just stood there and looked at each other. Did you see that? Aaron goes, I don't want to die, but I wanted to take that hand. And I came home and I was glad my family was doing whatever they were doing, because I sat on the sofa for a good hour and cried. All I could do was cry, because it was so emotionally draining and the pain that that poor person had gone through. But last we knew, they're doing wonderfully, which great. That just, yeah, makes you feel so good, even though you're not the one with the ultimate power that fixed the situation. You were just a person put there to help, because a friend one time said, we humans need something to hold on to when our faith is lagging. We can't reach out and hold Christ. We can't hold God. We need something. So I think that's why all of us are sent out there, is to be that thing to hold on to help them through those times.
Yeah.
You're the co-founder of Ghosts and Girls Paranormal, as you said, and I said, Can you tell us a little bit about that and the other things that you're involved in?
Sure. June and I found ourselves going more and more to deal with the more negative side of things. We didn't set out to do it, but we were getting those calls and you don't say no, because the team we were with didn't deal with those. And that's perfectly fine. So we branched off to do that while still doing other things. And we try to help people, whether it's fact, I don't want to say fact or fiction. That sounds like I don't believe people. They're different situations. And they can vary from having a hard time dealing with the loss of a loved one and knowing how to let go, to the fact that they are having these really bad things occur with them. So we try to go and help them deal with them as well as we can. We have been called with another team to help deal with somebody that was dealing with negatives stemming from a very public shooting. Just numerous crazy things you would never find yourself really thinking you'd get involved with. We were called to the home of a sniper who brought things home with them. And they were gotten rid of, but I looked in those eyes and heard, did I bring this home with me? What better way to screw our military and people up than sending these rotten things home with them? And it's, don't worry about it. And last we heard, all was going beautifully. We tried to check up, but you don't want to check up to the point where you're being annoying and harassing.
Can something latch onto you for an extended amount of time, for a really long time? Or do they like get bored after a while and go somewhere else?
Hop a ride from station to station. They can do whatever they want. That's my take on it. Some will see it a way to get in and they will stay with you. And if you don't believe, don't want to believe, don't protect yourself, don't protect your surroundings or your family, you could have a lot of problems. I had one here in the home. Wow. I think it may have been here when I moved here, but I had shut myself down for a long time. And even though I knew there were things, saw things, heard things, I just plugged my ears and went, "Allah." We'd hear growls and different things. And my youngest son and my husband were looking at me going, "What's that?" And yeah, a thing. But luckily June came along and we were doing, you know, what we do. And one day I was doing dishes at the sink and I always hand wash knives. I don't like to leave them around. I don't want them left in the dishwasher where someone could grab them. And literally it was pulled out of my hand and turned and it went towards my other hand like it was going to cut my fingers off. It got me a little bit, nothing major. Yeah, I bled a lot. Friend came and wrapped me up, but it made me so mad. Didn't scare me. It made me really mad. So I called June and I'm like, okay, here's the issue. So on YouTube is video of what I call the basement. It's really not a basement. This is a three-level house with a bonus room behind the garage. It's a weird thing. And down there was everything you can. I sat there and videoed this whole thing on my cell phone and I could see all kinds of orbs. And I know there's dust and I know there's orbs. And I know people don't believe in orbs and that's all well and good. But I've never seen directional dust. It does its thing and goes. This stuff was going, turning around, taking a left, turning around, taking a right. Some of them were blue. Just, it was crazy what all was down there. And we dealt with it. But the funny thing was the night before, I said, "You're not coming up here. My family's up here. The line is drawn. Enjoy your last night. You're done." And I went upstairs and climbed in bed. And all of a sudden, it sounded like the pots and pans were being thrown around. And my husband jumps up and he's thinking somebody broke in. I'm like, "No, don't worry about it. It's fine. Somebody's in the house." Yeah. "It's a temper tantrum. Don't worry about it." Next morning we came down. He's, "Nothing is out of place. It's a temper tantrum. It'll be gone."
That's crazy. So do you have anything planned coming up? Any kind of I know with COVID and stuff, it's difficult to have anything planned at this point, but.
It's hard because it's really fun because I have some amazing friends that I get to go and do things with. And it's like, in November, we went to the Wolf Creek Inn, which was also on Ghost Adventures. And it's a place Clark Gable used to go to. It's where he retreated to after Carol Lombard had passed away. And I went with this other group. My daughter went with me and we had an amazing time. We got all sorts of fun things. So we did that. And there's a house up in Kalama, Washington that we need to go back up to. Because we're not positive, but we think that we made contact with Ted Bundy.
Hmm. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And we had, because at the time it was a 5-female, 2-male team. And the guys were in the basement, which is the most strange basement I've ever seen. It had a free-flowing stream in it that went in, out, and disappeared. It was crazy. But we were upstairs and we all just started talking about these things because one of the pairs had gone to the dumping grounds and different things like this. And all of a sudden the door opens, you hear footsteps. And my daughter, who was 20 at the time, went over and she's, "We hear you, but we don't see you, but you could hear these footsteps." And it's being documented. And another one of the gals is looking over. She goes, "Nobody there." As soon as the guys came back, gone. Stopped. Nobody else had been there. It was crazy. Okay, we're talking about serial killers. Okay, yeah, we're weird that way. So we went downstairs because it's family's home. And we were starting to tell them, "Oh, here's what happened." And the husband gets totally amped, runs out of the room, and comes back in with a yearbook. Lo and behold, his mother, who is a twin, went to high school with Ted Bundy. And we had no clue about that. And at that moment, I hear this creepy voice in my ear say, I wanted those twins. And I'm like, I just go away. So it's on YouTube. It was a really interesting thing, but you can't say for sure. We think, so we want to go back, and we were supposed to go back and do more testing, so to speak, and we were supposed to lead tours, and then COVID hit, and we didn't get to go back yet. So hopefully this year, things will change.
Tom and I, being correction officers, we understand the whole thing about talking about serial killers. Only the serial killers that we talk about are alive, usually.
Yeah, you can see them.
But we definitely have had some crazy talks, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, June and I, oh my goodness, almost 3 years ago, we went to Alcatraz. And that was an interesting situation. We did the night tour. So I would have liked to have gone out to the cemetery, but they only let you do certain things. Let me tell you, that island stinks because of those birds. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was nasty.
If somebody needed to reach out to you for help or anything like that, or if they wanted to know more about you or the Girls and Paranormal and stuff, how could they do that?
Well, we are on Facebook as Ghost and Girls Paranormal, as well as on Instagram the same way. They can reach me on Instagram. I'm on there more than I am on Facebook. Too much stuff going on Facebook. My brain doesn't need to be any fuller than it is. They can reach me on Instagram under my name, Wendy Stanton Phillips, if they're more comfortable doing that, and send me a message. Just be clear on what it's about, because there are some really strange people out there that send me messages. Sure. I had one person send me a message and tell me I wasn't attractive enough to be on Ghost Adventures. Okay, it's all good. Fine, that's your opinion. I didn't think that had anything to do with it. So, and we are on YouTube. Like I said, there's Ghost and Girls Paranormal. And the other group that I do things with is Supernatural Investigative Productions. And you'll find the Montgomery House, you'll find Wolf Creek, just different things that we have done and that the other parts of the teams have done. And there are some really fun things on there. So you can go on there and find all those things. And if we can help somebody, yes, please let us know. I'm not great yet at doing long distance things. I'm still trying to hone my part. But Miss June is amazing at that. She is able to help people from distances quite beautifully. Right.
Thank you very much, Wendy, for coming on our little show here that we got. Still getting our feet wet and stuff with it. And we really appreciate you coming out and coming on the show.
It's my pleasure. And thank you so much for having me.
That's very nice of you. Thank you. Pleasure meeting
you. Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com, and we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.